We also have with us WTMJ's Adam Roberts. He's been staying on top of the news all day on the Slenderman stabber, Morgan Geiser. She was on the loose. No one knew where she was as of Saturday night. Then yesterday, we got news she's in custody. And Adam, we have more information about the person that she was found with.
That's right. New details just shared with us from the Posen, Illinois Police Department. I have a report that was filed earlier today regarding the arrest of Geiser in that community, as well as, you mentioned, Julia, the person, a man that the Geiser was with. We now know the identity of that individual, identified as 43-year-old Chad Mecca of Janesville, Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. You can see a photo of him. If you text 855-616-1620, watch to 855-616-1620. Morgan Geiser sitting right next to him.
So the details that we've uncovered about how these two met, according to the report, as well as how they went from Madison, where Geiser was staying in a group home, to Posen, Illinois, about 20 miles south of Chicago. According to the report, first of all, both of these individuals gave assumed names to the police when they were originally confronted there. Geiser going with Stephanie Grease, according to the report, and Mecca with Charles Robertson. Now, prior to that, these two, according to this information from the department, had met a couple of months ago through shared attendance at Good Shepherd Church in Madison. Chad stated, according to the report, he did not like how Geiser was being treated at the Madison group home, stating that he had been denied visitation time with Geiser by the state. The Department of Health Services is the grantor of custody to Geiser. So at that point, due to their both mutual belief that she was being mistreated, they began to plot how they would escape. Geiser, according to the report, cut her ankle bracelet with a pair of scissors. Then the pair took a bus from Madison to Chicago aboard a Greyhound, then walked to from the south side of the city of Chicago to Posen, where they ran out of money, according to the report. They then stopped at that Thornton's gas station in Posen, where they were discovered by police, gave the assumed names. Then you heard the quote earlier today from Chief William Alexander that Geiser told authorities to, quote, just Google me, and that's when she gave the actual name, and they found out exactly who they were dealing with at that Thornton's.
Oh, my goodness. So this 42-year-old man, is there any details on him going into her group home at all?
Well, you set me up very nicely, Julia. According to the report, Geiser, in an interview with police, stated on multiple occasions Mecca had visited her at the group home by, quote, climbing her window and sneaking in.
Oh, my gosh.
And that they had discussed potentially going as far south as Nashville, Tennessee, but only made it, as we know, to Posen, Illinois.
Wow. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Because she was supposed to be in this mental health institute, Winnebago Mental Health Institute, through 2058.
Yes, this is so bad. Adam, when you're unpacking all of this information, and it seemed like it all starts to tie together, because at first we're wondering who it was, but there is information about he used to sneak into this group home where he wasn't allowed visitation?
According to the report, that's correct.
Wow.
My goodness.
So now we await what will happen next. So Mecca, by the way, is currently out after receiving a citation and notice form, was charged with criminal trespass and obstructing identification. As it pertains to Geiser, she is now through the extradition process, or about to begin it. Her hearing is set for 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Layton Courthouse in Chicago's South Side. Of course, under the supervision of the Cook County Jail for tonight, then we'll begin that process. Now, the state indicates that if Geiser chooses to waive her extradition, this process could begin to take on a longer length of time. However, if everything goes according to how usually things move, she could be back in Wisconsin as soon as this week. She would be sent then to Waukesha County, which is the original charging jurisdiction. Then it's up to Dane County, as I detailed earlier on our midday show. If they choose to pursue charges against Geiser for the escape, she would then be transferred to Dane County. I have a source I trust that tells me if any charges are filed at all, it would likely be escaping custody, which is a Class H felony punishable by up to 6 years in prison or a $10,000 fine.
Wow. Wow. WTMJ's Adam Roberts, thank you so much for staying on top of this. He even went to Waukesha County and went to the news conference with the DA,
wow,
saying that this is, you know, this is not great for you know, the safety for our entire community.
Yeah, and I just can't get over the fact that these two didn't think that people would be looking for them. And this is not a national story. This was a national story. And so you get 200 miles away and you just want to give a fake name and think that's going to be okay?
Wow.
And on top of that, before we, I know we have to get to break, Julia, but Adam, there, what are the charges for the other suspect right now?
So are you referring to Mr. Mecca?
Yes.
So those charges, according to the Posen Police Department, are criminal trespass and obstructing identification, which would relate back to the fake name that he gave to police.
Okay, so basically misdemeanors. They wouldn't.
Well, he received a citation notice and he's out. So they're not being held at anything above that.
Okay.
My goodness. Yeah. Wow. This is a crazy case that's been going on since 2014 in Waukesha County. Thank goodness that the young girl, when she was just 12 years old, she survived.
Yes.
After being stabbed 19 times to appease the fictional character named Slenderman at the time.
But having to relive this again and just getting notification, like you're thinking everything is fine, she's away, she's serving her time wherever in whatever capacity, but then you just get a phone call on a Saturday night saying that, hey, the person that tried to kill you 11 years ago.
We don't know where she is.
We don't know where she is.
That's what happened.
And you don't know if she's looking for you or anything else. So, yeah, it's an unfortunate very unfortunate incident that hopefully, I mean, we'll see what happens and what the consequences are for this happening.
She was in that group home for just about 2 months, and then this happens. You may know Black Friday and Small Business Saturday, but what about Blackout Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving? It's the heaviest drinking day of the year. Many people head to the bar with some friends to de-stress the night before all the chaos. One day before Thanksgiving, it's also known as Drinksgiving, one of the busiest bar nights of the year, rivaling St. Patrick's Day and even New Year's. Yes, it's typically because so many out-of-towners are returning home, reconnecting with friends at the bar. It also marks the start of drunk driving season, where checkpoints are ramping up before Turkey Day, and your risk of coming into contact with a drunk driver becomes 55% more likely than on an average day. The Packers killed it yesterday at home against one of our storied rivals, putting in 5 sacks. Here they are.
He's sacked back at the 47. Warren Brinson, the rookie from Georgia. Second half begins with a throw. That was the intention, and Micah Parsons had other plans. They line him up at linebacker here, and he just barrels his way in there, and Devontae Wyatt has a sack of his own. Fake the toss. Parsons is coming, and he's got his second sack of this third quarter. Gary able to get there. Couldn't get him down, though. Now McCarthy takes another sack. Devontae Wyatt's second of the game.
So great. Music to my ears. It was fantastic.
Yes.
Thank you to producer Corey for putting that together. It was fantastic. And looking ahead to this week's game against the Lions on Thanksgiving, Packers players are highlighting an important foundation close to their heart. It's through the My Claws, My Cleats initiative. My Cause, My Cleats initiative. It's been going on for a decade. Somewhere in 50 players and staff are handpicking a cause to support. So let's go through it. Jordan Love. This is pretty interesting. He is going to be stepping out in Bakersfield Police Activities League cleats. So he says, both my parents were police officers. I didn't know that. Did you?
No.
I know how much they cared for the people in my hometown. So it will support Guiding Youth Program. It offers young people a path away from gangs, drugs, and violence through sports. Matthew Golden. This one's interesting. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. So I think that's really cool. He said, quote, my little cousin passed away in a drunk driving accident, so I want to honor them and spread awareness. MAD works to end drunk driving and drugged driving to support victims and survivors. Micah Parsons, the Lionheart Foundation. He says the mission is to strengthen the bonds that hold families together, empower youth and reach their potential and uplift communities. The Lionheart Foundation transforms lives through education and self-empowerment. Since 1992, they've equipped incarcerated adults at high-risk youth and caregivers with tools for healing and growth, providing that change begins with compassion and opportunity. Romeo Dobbs, Trisha's Troops. He says many people have connections through cancer, family or friends. Trisha's Troops does great work by providing support for those affected. And Christian Watson, he's going to be repping an American Breast Cancer Foundation design. He says it's to donate and through a really important cause. Family members have been diagnosed, he says, with breast cancer in his life, and he thinks that it will help uninsured and underserved individuals access life-saving services with dignity and compassion. Wow. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is, Julia. I love that the NFL does this, and it gives you an opportunity to bring awareness to something that's near and dear to your heart. It is amazing that people really don't know all the rules and regulations for your uniform, and you will get fined if it's not a certain way. So you just can't say, all right, I have a cause, I'm going to go do this. You'll get fined. Mm-hmm. But the NFL allows it for certain weeks. And I think, it used to just be 1 week, but I think this is going to carry on into Thanksgiving, which will be the second week because they wore these cleats during Sunday's game. But it's such a great cause. And again, it gives people an opportunity to raise awareness about things that are really near and dear to you.
Absolutely. He is the chief meteorologist of TMJ4 News. Brian is Nansky. Hey, Brian.
How are you doing?
Very good. I think that there's light rain expected tonight, right?
Yeah, already some really light showers moving through. Really light and scattered. I see some raindrops on the sky cam downtown Milwaukee. But as of right now, this doesn't look to be very significant. They'll be hit and miss not only this evening, but through the night tonight.
Brian, we have been kind of preparing and talking a lot about when the bottom is going to fall out. All these 50s are going to go away, and they're going to go away for a while. That's going to probably kick off when? Wednesday? Thursday?
Yeah, Wednesday we definitely see like the pattern shift. We get on the backside of an area of low pressure, draws in some cold air. By Wednesday, highs only in the 30s, and I think we see our hit and miss rain showers that we're seeing transition over to snow showers, and we might even pick up a slushy, half inch or so of snow during the day on Wednesday.
Oh wow! Okay, oh, wow. That's when I'm going to be traveling.
Yeah, me too.
You too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't look, here in southeastern Wisconsin, I think mainly just wet roads. It will be windy. It's just going to be kind of crummy outside. I wouldn't be too concerned here, but far northern Wisconsin, I would say you get north of Wausau. That's where accumulating snow starts to go up. By the time you get to like Rhinelander over to, let's say, Hayward, we could be talking about 6, 7, 8 inches of snow. And then far, far northern Wisconsin, like if you're in Vilas County, Ashland, Iron County, they could see like 1 to 2 feet of snow.
My goodness.
Yeah.
This can
be a big one.
I'll be going the other direction.
Good. Yeah. And that's not a bad idea. We're looking at primarily rain. In fact, that system probably misses, locations from Chicago south completely.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Brian?
We host Thanksgiving. My brother's family comes up. My parents come up. A couple aunts and uncles. Should be a good time. And yeah, it's always fun. I had to work last Thanksgiving, which is not a big deal, not a pity party for me. But I when we host, that creates some challenges. Like I came home for like a break, but then that leaves Julie.
No, oh my gosh.
Yeah, having to not only man the kitchen, but host my family. So I felt terrible. So that's this year. Hopefully, will be a lot smoother. But I think the festivities start a little earlier because the Packers are at noon.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that fantastic?
Isn't it amazing how we orchestrate our whole lives around Packer kickoff starts?
Pretty much.
Well, what else are we going to do? Sit around and talk about each other's lives and stuff? No, let's watch some football. No.
Right. We don't want to be social.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep on getting these push notifications saying about a polar vortex that's going to be coming in the next few weeks. Are you seeing this, Brian?
Yeah, well, I've seen a ton of crazy stuff online. In fact, the social media right now is really getting out of control with some of these like winter storm projections. And I know it's like an algorithm thing where like I'm watching it, so automatically now I'm getting every crazy forecast. But it is becoming an increasing problem. I don't mean to discredit anybody or not want to like share stuff online. I think that's what social media is about. The problem is you get someone to like share raw computer model data that will show like us getting like 3 feet of snow, which we know that's not going to happen.
I know.
But it ends up circulating. It takes a life of its own. Next thing you know, like it's attributed to myself and it becomes a problem. So just be aware of where you're getting your stuff.
Absolutely. All right, Brian, take us through your 5 day.
Okay. So for tonight, a little bit of shower action. Looks to be light scattered again. Few hundredths of an inch of rain, 46 degrees for tonight. Tomorrow, breezy with another chance of showers, especially tomorrow evening again, but still mild, 53. Now, Wednesday, we're on the cold side of the system, so the rain showers change over to snow showers. That's where we could see less than an inch of snow accumulation, a high of 37. Thanksgiving, Thursday, mostly cloudy, windy, chilly, a high of only 33. And then Friday, mostly cloudy and chilly, a high of 31 degrees. Feeling and looking more winter-like.
He is chief meteorologist for TMJ4 News, Brian Nesnansky. Brian, are you on at 6?
Yep, I'll be back on here at 6 o'clock.
All right, tune in to Channel 4 at 6. Thanks, Brian. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Julia. Bye.
He wore the jersey. He lived the battles in the trenches. And now he's bringing it all down with his championship insight.
This is what it feels like to be one of the big dogs in the NFL. There's a lot of mental toughness that comes along with that. Boost your ego a little bit.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold with today's insider.
Brian Blagan, Iowa.
On Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Green and Gold Insiders is sponsored by Window Nation. Balaga, what a win.
Fantastic win. How are we doing this Monday evening?
My goodness, in the second half, they only got 4 yards on us. Have you ever seen
it?
I mean, we've seen stuff like this before, but I mean, for this season, how great was it? Like a sigh of relief for us, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was a big-time defense performance, and it couldn't have come really at a better time if you look at the way the schedule's lining up and all the division opponents that are coming down the pipe here for the Packers. I mean, obviously, you know, Detroit coming up on Thanksgiving, that's an enormous game. And then Chicago, I believe, is pretty quick back-to-back games, if I'm not mistaken. I think they play Chicago, have another game in between, then Chicago again, if I'm thinking of the right schedule there. And this is the time you want to be clicking, right? This is the time you want to have that defense that you can always rely on no matter what time of the year, what situation, you could just lean on them and count on them to put you in good situations. And that was a performance yesterday that I haven't seen in a long time. And they've been really good this year. Don't get me wrong. The defense has been really good this year. But that was a very special performance by the Packers defense yesterday. And to have them be able to do that against division opponents when, you know, obviously the Vikings know the Packers very well, right? They know them very well. They know this defense very well from last year. Obviously the quarterback is different, but McConnell knows the defense well. And let's just say Halfley got one over on him this year, and they're 1-0 against the Vikings in the battle for the North this year.
Brian, absolutely dominating defensive performance, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 10 quarterback hits. But you're going to have the naysayers that say, well, it came against J.J. McCarthy. He is not a good NFL quarterback so far. But we've also seen this season where we felt like the Packers were supposed to win and dominate, and they didn't, a la Cleveland Browns, Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. So what do you, how would you rate this win in the confidence department for this team moving forward? Yes, it's a divisional win. Yes, you got a bunch of divisional games coming up, 2 against the Bears in a matter of 4 weeks. How would you assess this win? Because some people could say the Vikings aren't good, but any divisional win is good. And anyone knows that have played in the NFC North like yourself.
Absolutely. And I think people that say that about McCarthy, I mean, that's fine. I mean, listen, yeah, he struggled, but I'm going to tell you this much, Green Bay made him struggle, right? Like, no one's made him look like that yet this year, besides the Packers. I mean, let's just be real about it. I mean, the Packers made him look that way, and I will say this, like, the Vikings offensive line isn't a bad group. They are not a bad group by any stretch of the imagination. They have very good tackles. They have a good center. They have a good core group, but they did not look like a good group. And that's what the Packers defense did to them, right? When you're able to suffocate an offensive line out, quarterbacks aren't able to do anything. It doesn't matter who you have back there. It does not matter. So to say it was against McCarthy, like, that's fine. Like, that's okay. Like, Sure, whatever. Keep talking. That's fine. We're good with that. You can keep saying that. Because if they continue to go out and perform that way, it's not going to matter who's behind center. If you continue to perform at that level, especially up front, if you pressure the quarterback at that rate and harass him at that rate, it's going to be tough for the quarterback to do anything. It doesn't matter if it's J.J. McCarthy, if it's Jared Goff coming up this week, if it's going to be Caleb Williams the following week. It does not matter. If the defensive front plays like that, it's going to be tough for any offense to operate.
Yeah, Brian, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to earn it. Like you just mentioned several times, their schedule. You got the Lions, the Bears at Denver, then the Bears mm-hmm. again in Chicago, then back home against the Ravens, and then you finish the season in Minnesota. So in these last six games, if the Packers are going to make the playoffs, they are going to earn it.
Absolutely. And, Brian, I wanted to ask you about Jordan Love. He has an AC joint sprain in his left shoulder. Do you know how bad that is? I mean, that's not his throwing arm, but how devastating is that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, fortunately, I've never had one of those. I mean, I've had a lot of things in my time, but I haven't had one of those. I've been with guys that, I mean, I played with a couple guys out in L.A. that had those, and they look painful, and they struggle with them, and some guys sit out, some guys play through it. I guess it depends on the severity of it. I guess there's different grades to the AC joint sprain. But I think the way Matt LaFleur managed that game for him yesterday a little bit and really leaning on the run game and giving him you didn't give him a week off, but you certainly didn't put him under the gun the way you would have if you would have had him drop back and throw it 35 times, which he may have to do against Detroit, right? So you gave him a little week. To protect himself, to get healthy, to try to get that thing as, I guess, feeling 100% as possible. It's not going to get there. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get to 100%. It's impossible at this point. But it's painful. It's definitely going to be painful and something he's going to be dealing with for the rest of the way. But the fact that he's pushing through it, he went out there last week and played through it, and he's doing it again this week. Hats off to him, right? I mean, that shows a lot of toughness from him. I mean, obviously, anything when it comes to shoulders and quarterbacks, whether it's throwing or non-throwing, that affects everything for them, right? Like any movement for them up top as they're torquing and twisting and turning and throwing that football, anything that, you know, doesn't feel right affects the way the ball comes out. And that's tough on them. So for him to gut through that and still continue to do what he needs to do to get this team over the line, I think is, you know, tip of the cap to him. And I just hope this offensive line can protect him. Don't take any big shots, right? Get down, slide. If you're getting out of the pocket, you don't need to run anyone over. No one needs to see how tough you are. No one wants to see it. I don't care. I'd rather see you get on the ground and not get the first down than try to truck a linebacker. Personally, that's just me. But I think that if the offensive line takes care of him, LaFleur kind of does his thing like he did yesterday and mix in that run game and the play action game to kind of protect him that way too. I think they can manage the injury very well. I think they can.
Mm-hmm. He is your Green Bay Packers champion, Brian Bulaga. Brian, thank you.
No problem. We will talk to you after Thanksgiving. Yes. I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.